Happy Easter. And Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's try that again. Christ is risen. Amen. So I think we all had a mutual experience this week of exactly what they experienced at the tomb, because suddenly there was a great earthquake. And I don't know about you, it was reported to me that many people woke up at 1:40 in the morning. I slept through it, but we were shaken awake, most of us. But you can imagine the fear and the terror of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and the people guarding the tomb to have a great earthquake and a huge stone that weighed at least a ton rolled away and an angel appearing. So they were filled with fear, so much that they looked like dead men. And fear is a very prevalent emotion these days. Not only do we have our personal fear, but it seems to be flowing through all the airwaves of every media announcement that we hear, that we are bombarded with fear. The philosopher Robert Zardello, in his book Freeing the Soul from Fear, said the central spiritual task of the time is dealing with fear. And he said what happens when we experience fear over and over and over again, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, the more the imagination shuts down. And the more that the imagination contracts, so does the soul. And we lose our capacity to love one another. When we are afraid, it's difficult to love. And so the gospel this morning really teaches us something about dealing with fear. It says that when Mary Magdalene and Mary left, they were filled with fear and joy. There's something beginning to change. The fear is transforming. And I think one of the key elements that takes them out of the fear is when they meet Jesus. They fall down at his feet and worship him. Worship is something we've almost completely lost in our culture today. A sense of reverence, a sense of reverence for life, for one another, for the planet, the biosphere, everything that is living to have a sense of reverence because it is filled with the Spirit of God. And so this reverence, in the Japanese culture, this sense of bowing to one another over and over creates a sense of humility in ourselves. In fact, it is the practice of self-emptying. The body knows that worship is what helps us change and transform fear. One of the aspects of worship is that we focus on the other and not on ourselves. In that movement of turning our attention away from our survival so much, but towards the glory of God, to make a sacrifice of praise, even when we don't feel like it, can change our whole demeanor. The second thing that's so important about worship is that we experience a sense of transcendence. It takes us out of the moment, in a sense, that we're able to rise above it in consciousness. When we worship, when we're in a state of worship, it raises our consciousness. And when our consciousness is raised, we are deepened in love. It connects us with one another. When our attention is raised on the vertical, we are filled to expand on the horizontal plane. It is a gift that we have forgotten, and early and ancient cultures knew and understood this, that they could not survive without the help of the higher power and without community. In the modern age, we seem to think that we only need ourselves and our iPhone. And that actually separates us from one another. Another important aspect of worship, the scientist and theologian Ilya Dalio says that worship has a biological purpose. And it takes a little explanation, but the soul of the human being is in tandem with the external universe. And if we forget that, the state of our soul is reflected in the state of the cosmos around us. And so if our soul is not in alignment with our true purpose and who we are, so the world around us will be in chaos. She says, if consciousness is the inside of matter and religion is a function of consciousness, then it is possible to say that a religious experience is part of the inside story of the universe, the inner dimension. Religion is biologically the necessary counterpart to the release of the Earth's spiritual energy. That worship holds the world together because it is our true nature to be in relationship with God. In the Jewish tradition, the Sabbath was established so that there would not be this infinite time of work. It was set apart so that we would remember where the source of our energy comes from. That we take time to remember that we are not just little automatons walking around on the earth, that we are connected to something much higher than ourselves, and we are called to live in a higher consciousness. That's our full human potential. Worship reminds us that we're not only human, but we are also divine. And it takes time to nurture and understand the fullness of who we are. And lastly, worship creates community. We are gathered together in a common purpose. One of the things that I really appreciate about the Episcopal Church is that we don't have a creed that says you have to believe this, 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 and this. What we say is our worship creates our belief. Our common worship determines what we believe. When we come together and praise God, that determines who we are. Not a set of tenets that I have to adhere to, but the fact that I'm willing to offer the sacrifice of praise with my neighbor, that creates community. This is our community of woodpeckers. They love it when we worship. They get all excited. So this morning, whatever you came to Easter Sunday, whether it's you believe in the resurrection or not, but allow the resurrection to become part of you, to internalize it so that it can be active within you. It's not a belief to hang on the wall. It's a living presence. The risen Christ is a living presence that we experience in the Eucharist. And it has a resurrection power. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to spend the night in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And we spent several hours in a little edicule. It's like a large tabernacle inside the church. And supposedly the tomb where Jesus was laid. And so as we prayed, I could experience the sorrow from centuries of prayer in that place, but also this very interesting light energy. It's the place that the Orthodox priest emerges with the Paschal candle, if you've ever watched it on television, on the Feast of the Easter Vigil. One thing that the scientist Teilhard de Chardin has taught us is that the future of humanity will not be determined by the survival of the fittest. He said, in fact, we will destroy one another if that's what we aim for. But the future of humanity will be based on our capacity to converge and unify. And nothing can bring us together more profoundly than when we are in a state of worship. It opens our heart to God, and in the process, we are open to love our neighbor. So take that with you, whether you are at home or in a house of worship. It is the praise and acknowledgement of God, that God is the source of the resurrection, the source of life, that enables us to live and breathe and move and have our being. Amen.